Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Tanya, and it is my hope and prayer that this morning the Lord will help us to have a better understanding of how we should treat, care, and honor our elderly parents. So before we start, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this day and bringing us here. Lord, we are humbly asking for your help. We ask that you would bear with us and have us to see ourselves, Lord, and have us to see how you would have us to go about caring for and honoring our parents, Lord, as they age. We ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen. Okay, so as an introduction, when I first was asked to speak about encouragement for caregivers and I started researching, I noticed that most of the topics that came up right away was caregiving for elderly parents. And so that is why my focus is on elderly parents. It's not so much as caregiving for a child, because that would be something completely different, okay? And so I was blessed to have help from Dr. Joel Beakey. So the first part of my outline will be from a sermon by him called How Should We Treat Our Parents? It's sermon number 39, downloaded from Sermon Audio, and it was originally given on January 9, 2005. So how should we treat our parents? That's the name of the sermon that the first part of the outline is from. I also received some very wise counsel from Pastor Dikema, who, as some of you may know, thank you, is the caregiver for his wife, who is in the end stages of Alzheimer's. So some of my scripture references and book references are from his counsel. This is one of the books that he recommended. It's called The 36-Hour Day. It's an excellent book for caregivers. Okay. Another book that I found very helpful is called The Caregiving Season. This is by, her name is Jane Daly. This is a Focus on the Family publication. So this is a very good Christian book, okay? And I think some of these books may be available up in the front today. Another book that I found is specifically for Alzheimer's. We're going to talk a little bit about Alzheimer's, but the whole presentation is not on Alzheimer's. But this book is very helpful for Alzheimer's. It's called Coach Broyles' Playbook for Alzheimer's Caregivers. Very, very practical. A lot of good resources and information in that book. This book is a book that I ordered but I didn't use, but I thought it was very helpful, and I'm probably going to donate it to the library. It's a Johnny and Friends book. It's called Real Families and Needs. And this is for not necessarily elderly parents, but people with disabled children. And so it's very, very helpful. But I didn't use this book at all. But as I looked through it, I thought it was very good. So I thought I'd just tell you all about those, okay? All right, so let's get started. And Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The promise attached to the fifth commandment is that God's general rule is that honoring children will live fruitful lives, lives of contentment, not necessarily just long chronologically. And that's from Dr. Beakey. So with that in mind, number one, honoring our elderly parents. The first word, honor them. What does that mean? That means to fear them, give them reverence. Endeavoring in everything to be the comfort of our elderly parents and to make their old age easy to them. Maintaining them if they stand in need of support. That's Matthew Henry. The word honor has a weightedness to it. They should feel that you really respect them. So that's the word honor them. That's the first way we treat our parents. We honor them. Fear them, give them reverence, endeavoring in everything to be a comfort to them. The second one, love them. Hold them with such respect, loving them enough to obey them. Using kind words, loving them not because you feel loved by them in return. Because there may come a time that they don't even recognize who you are. But love them just because. That sounds simple, but not because you get anything in return, just love them because they're your parents. And that's how you honor them, by loving them. Care for them, number three. You could also say be faithful to them. Always be ready to help them, being true to them, looking after them, nourishing them. The next one is number four, submit to them. In other words, be subject to them. Listen to them. This requires that we deny ourselves. Putting aside our own ideals about what they should do, where they should live, what they should eat. Bearing with them in their infirmities. To do this, our will has to be broken and brought under the will of God. Again, submit to them, listen to them, or be subject to them, denying ourselves, putting aside our own ideals about what they should do, where they should live, or what they should eat, bearing with them in their infirmities. Our will has to be broken and brought under the will of God. The fifth one, obey them. Without complaining, timely. This means do as you say you are going to do. If they ask you to do something and it's not harmful to them or against biblical principle, you should do it. Again, obeying them without complaining in a timely manner. This means do as you say you are going to do. If they ask you to do something and it's not harmful to them or against biblical principle, you should do it. Okay, so the last one for this first part of the outline, this would be number six, pray for them. Taking them before the Lord, asking Him to pour out His grace on them, comfort them, meet their needs spiritually, physically, and emotionally. So these six items fall all under honoring our elderly parents. And it doesn't matter if your elderly parent has dementia or some other health problem. The commandment is still the same. But there are some specific things that can change a little if there is a cognitive defect. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But this commandment does not have any buts or ifs to it. And so moving into caring for elderly parents, we're going to talk a little bit about age-related health problems. Okay, so the first one is dementia. And so dementia is the overall term for diseases and conditions characterized by a decline in memory, language, problem solving, and other thinking skills that affect a person's ability to perform everyday activities. So it's an overall term. And Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. It's a common form of dementia. There's other types of dementia, and it can be hard to determine the exact type because a lot of times the symptoms overlap in the different types. And in some cases, there can be more than one type of dementia. So if you're caring for an elderly parent and you suspect that they are having a decline in memory, language, problem solving, or other thinking skills, and you think that their everyday activities are being, their ability to perform their everyday activities are being affected, you can suggest that they see a physician and suggest that you go with them to see a physician. That may not happen very easily. So if this happens and you suspect this, you'll need help. You'll need counsel. Because it's hard for us to know what to do. And again, there is a lot that goes with this, and we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about specific diseases. But the main thing is to remember is that you're going to need some counsel. You're going to need wisdom from the Lord. And sometimes you will be in a situation where it's a you just kind of have to wait and just kind of resolve that you can't see what's going to happen, but the Lord does, and you have to trust Him. And sometimes things will happen before you can do anything, and that's just how it is. So that requires a lot of prayer, a lot of grace. Again, our will has to be broken and brought under the will of God. So this particular book has some very good chapters about that, about how she saw some changes in her dad, the caregiving season. And thank you. And she just was kind of waiting to see what was going to happen. And nothing happened that was detrimental to him or anyone else, but it was just a matter of it came down to driving. I think that was the first thing that she saw, and they had to take his car keys. And so that's very common. It's usually the first thing you see. So again, with dementia, there's a lot that goes with it, and we can't spend that it's just so involved. But one of the main things is that you definitely will need to be praying, asking for wisdom, and seeking counsel. And also know that with all of these health problems that I'm going to briefly discuss, it's not necessarily our right or our need to know exactly what type of dementia our parent has or exactly what's going on in their brain. Sometimes it's just you have the information and you have a diagnosis from a professional, and that's just where you are. And you just live day to day. Again, a lot of prayer, godly counsel. Okay, so the next health problem is heart and lung disease, and I group these together because they often come together. Heart failure means that the heart isn't pumping as well as it should. Very common. Congestive heart failure, you may hear it called right-sided heart failure. Now, they don't usually call it congestive heart failure, but it's a type of heart failure where fluid backs up into the lungs and the tissues. Lung disease, a common type of lung disease where you have problems with airflow, is COPD, and that's just a fancy acronym, which means that the person has problems getting air in and out. So how might this affect our elderly parents? Very, very common. Easily fatigued. Short of breath with exertion. Require more time to complete daily activities like brushing their teeth, bathing, dressing. So this means that they have to change their lives. They have to eat differently. They have to remember their medications. They have to pay closer attention to their bodies and reduce stress. These changes can be hard because they often require breaking long-held habits. So just think, in elderly parents with these problems, a lot of changes are happening. They're losing their health. They're losing what they know to be their health. A lot of losses. And so it requires a lot of patience and a lot of grace on your part. Something as simple as just brushing your teeth or putting your shirt on and buttoning your shirt is just not doable. It has to be planned out. So you have to be cognizant of that as you try to help them. The next common health problem with elderly people is chronic pain. And we see this particularly from arthritis, which is very, very common. And arthritis is something that will affect all of us if we live long enough. It's just how it is. It's how God made our bodies. It's age-related. And so how might this chronic pain from arthritis affect our elderly parents? Loss of the ability to physically complete daily activities like bathing, dressing, independently. So immobility. Stiffness, pain. And often people with chronic pain experience isolation and loss of independence. So chronic pain is something that you hear a lot about. You hear a lot about medication abuse now and addiction. And so again, you need a lot of prayer if you want to help your elderly parent if they have chronic pain, no matter what the cause. It can be from other things other than arthritis. But a lot of prayer and wisdom from the Lord, because you'll probably be helping your elderly parent with appointments and doctor visits. If not you, maybe another family member. And you will need to be able to cipher out good advice from healthcare providers that is good advice and advice that is just not biblical. So you'll see that. And the last chronic health problem is really not a health problem. It's terminal illness. And here I'm specifically talking about when an elderly parent has been given a prognosis of 6 months or less. In this instance, you should be thinking about hospice. If your elderly parent is doesn't have a cognitive defect, then hospice would be a good recommendation simply because of all the support that they give you. So I briefly went over the medical aspects of caring for elderly parents and some common health problems that we see in elderly people. But you have to remember that in the midst of these things, we want to honor our parents. And none of these things would be a surprise to the Lord. And we need to be going to Him and seeking godly counsel. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Any questions about the health problems that I discussed before I move on? Okay. So our next topic would be, I guess I have it as number 3, because the first one was honoring our parents. The second one was caring for elderly parents with age-related health problems. And the third one is taking care of ourselves. And you'll hear that a lot. You have to take care of yourself. You have to take time out. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we're going to put it into a biblical perspective. Many caregivers put their own needs and feelings aside to focus on the person. This can be hard to maintain for a long time, and it's not good for your health. The stress can have both physical and psychological effects. If you do not take care of yourself, you won't be able to take care of your parents. What does this mean? Does this mean getting a manicure or a pedicure? There's nothing wrong with that. But for us, this means spending quiet time with the Lord. Depending upon how involved you are as a parental caregiver, you may need to change your devotion schedule, breaking the time up into smaller increments in a day, as opposed to, say, a previous ability to have an uninterrupted block of time to spend with the Lord. That's just how it is, especially if you're doing doctor's appointments and you have a schedule where maybe you and another sibling are going over at different times during the day to help with meals and housekeeping and stuff like that. So you don't want to neglect your time with the Lord. Many caregivers say that looking back, they also took too much on, or they wish they had asked for help from friends or family sooner. So we can take an honest look at what we can do and what we can't do. What things do you need or want to do for yourself? What tasks can you turn over or share with other people? You have to be willing to let go of things that others can help you do. Some examples may be helping with chores like cooking, cleaning, shopping or yard work, taking care of kids or picking them up from school or activities, driving your loved one to appointments or picking up medicine, being the contact person to keep others updated. So just being the person who updates everyone else can be tiring. In addition to all the other things that you have to do just for yourself or your family. So you have to be willing to let go of some things and prioritize. And of course, keeping your personal time with the Lord right at the top of your list. So again, there's nothing wrong with getting a manicure or a pedicure. And you'll hear people tell you that if you're a caregiver for your parents, very often that they recommend that you do something for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for us, we have to go to where all our strength comes from, and that's from the Lord. And going day by day. Okay. So our next outline topic is managing expectations. So we tend to kind of work things out in our head. And we tend to come up with how things are going to be and what the best way to organize everything would be. And that's not good. That does not usually work. Remember, keeping in mind our goal is to honor our parents. So first and foremost, our parents may have a hard time accepting help from us. From their adult children. That's the first thing you have to be mindful of. You have to be careful. It may seem simple to you, but it may not be simple to them at all. Include your parent in the planning and caretaking decisions as much as possible. In fact, in the absence of a cognitive impairment, the parent should give direction on all decision making. In collaboration with their healthcare providers, with you acting as a support person. Again, include your parent in the planning and caretaking decisions as much as possible. In the absence of a cognitive impairment, that means that they do not have dementia, some form of dementia or cognitive impairment, they should be making all the decisions about their health care. Even though you may have a better idea, you don't. Be prepared for some people not to help. This is other family members. Some may be dealing with their own problems. So you kind of think, wow, I'm doing everything. Usually there's one family member who does everything. That's just how I tell you, it's just usually how it is. But why is that? Is it because the other family members are selfish or they don't care? Well, some of them just may be dealing with their own problems. Or they may think that it's best to keep their distance when people are struggling. Some may have a difficult time facing the mortality of their parents and or themselves. And some may not know how to show they care. So you have to be mindful of your own expectations because there can be a lot of conflict in families when our parents are elderly and siblings are the caregivers and all of the different personalities clash. And so we have our flesh, and then we have our enemy. And our enemy certainly does not want to see us get along. They want to see us not honor our parents. And we have our flesh, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. So you have to be very careful about your expectations. You have to be very prayerful. And again, the mortality of our parents is very difficult for a lot of us to face, and it reminds us of our own mortality. And it's very difficult, of course, you can imagine, for someone who doesn't know the Lord. Very scary for them. So it's important to understand the other family members and what they can and cannot do. For example, you may have a sibling that can't commit to taking your parent to a doctor appointment or even to come and sit with them for the day, but they may be agreeable to do your own yard work. They may come and cut your grass for you or rake some leaves for you. They may do some shopping for you, or they may even pick up your parents' prescriptions for you. That may be the best way that they can serve and help honor your parents. Another example is you may have a close friend who volunteers to help. However, your parent may not be comfortable with this. So instead, you could allow your friend to help you personally by, again, doing some chores, maybe running to the grocery store for you or making a light meal for you. These examples can help lighten your load and refresh you personally. Support groups. So there are a lot of good support groups, and you can ask healthcare providers about support groups and websites that are trustworthy. They don't necessarily have to be a Christian support group to be helpful. Don't become a Google doctor. Also, medical social workers, if you happen to know one, that's great, but they're an excellent resource and support professional. And a lot of times there are different groups that have social workers who work for them. Some clinics that specialize in elder care have social workers who work for them. But they're also excellent support people, and they have a wealth of knowledge about resources. Seeking godly counsel is important to go to mature Christians or elders in your church for counsel. Whether they have experience with caring for an elderly parent or not, either way they can be helpful because remember our goal is to honor our parents. And that's what we want to do. Don't go in your own strength. Go in the strength of the Lord. Again, I just really want to say a few more things about managing expectations because I think that's very, very big for us, just because of how we are. You have to be very prayerful and watchful because you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who in your family is watching you, how you're responding, what your temperament is like. So again, spending time with the Lord, asking for wisdom, asking for His grace, being cognizant that you don't know how God is using you. He certainly pleased that you seek to honor your parents. Your parents are being refreshed by it. But you never know how the Lord is going to use it. Particularly with other siblings or family members who don't know the Lord. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So some things that I did not discuss. Legal issues can be very big, and there may come a time where you may need some legal counsel. And of course, that's what you should do. You should seek legal counsel and godly counsel as well, because there may come a time where you have to become a guardian for your parent, conservator for your parent. So those things, obviously, you would need some legal help with. And again, so legal counsel, a lawyer, and then godly counsel from people in church, elderly people in church, or elders in the church, and then medical social workers. Again, they're very knowledgeable about how you should proceed legally and emotional health, another thing that I didn't discuss, go into a lot. But all of the health problems that I discussed can and often do come with emotional and mental health challenges like depression and anxiety. And they can impact caregiving and our relationship with our elderly parents. It is not just our physical bodies that are aging, but also our minds, meaning our mental and emotional health. And oftentimes, the parents, the elderly person is very aware that this is happening, and it causes a lot of anxiety for them. So, again, this can definitely impact your relationship as you seek to be a support to your parents. And again, there are a lot of good resources, particularly specialty centers that specialize in geriatric care. A lot of hospital systems have clinics now for geriatrics. And so you may need to reach out to them and make an appointment, and it may take several months before you get in. But definitely it's something that you should consider. So there are a lot of moving parts to caring for our elderly parents. But our main goal is to honor them. And we can't predict what's going to happen. We don't know. But the Lord knows. We don't need to know. He knows. And we just need to go day by day thinking, how can we honor our parent today? Yes, there'll be times of frustration. Yes, there'll be times of physical drain, being physically drained. But God is God's grace is more than sufficient. More than sufficient. So we have to trust Him, even though we don't see the evidence. We don't see what's going to happen. We have to trust Him. Be very careful with internet resources. Many of them look professional and trustworthy. However, the information is plain wrong or misleading. Try going to your parents' health care providers or your own health care providers and ask what internet sites they recommend and stick to those. You don't need a lot of different websites. You just need a few good ones. Finally, I mentioned before that our will has to be broken and brought under the will of God. Remember, we have a sin nature, and we do not have the natural heart of a servant. But if you are Christ, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And only by the Spirit, power of His Spirit, can you go in His strength with the heart of being His servant first and then a servant to your parents. Being mindful of our remaining sin and the enemy who does not want us to honor our parents. Constantly asking the Lord for wisdom and grace. Again, being mindful of our remaining sin and the enemy who does not want us to honor our parents. Constantly asking the Lord for wisdom and grace. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And that is the Christ-centered approach to honoring our elderly parents and caring for them. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You're so faithful to us, that You look upon us and love us, Lord. Help us to trust You, Lord, and to seek to live out the gospel as we care for our aging loved ones, elderly parents, Lord. And we ask these things in Your precious Son's name. Amen.